prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 23 July 2025. Welcome to this broadcast. We're glad you're with us tonight. We're going to bring up a very special guest in a minute. A gentleman I haven't had on for quite a while. And we're going to talk to Mr. Alex McFarland. Actually, it's Dr. Alex McFarland. I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. But before I forget to mention this, tomorrow's Thursday, of course, Lord willing. Tomorrow's our office day. It's when we'll be in the office tomorrow to answer questions, talk a while. Whatever I can do to bless you tomorrow, folks, that's why we're in the office on Thursdays. I'm not unreachable. I would love to talk to you. I'll talk to you anytime during the week if you just give our faith or answering service or my message, and I'll call you back. Please understand we're here to serve you. Of course, tomorrow's day, we'll fill orders and take donations, whatever you want to do. But you feel free to call tomorrow at 800-777-4403. If you have long distance, please call on the toll line because it does cost money to use a toll-free number. Call us at 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. But we love to talk to you. That's what we're here to do. Please keep that in mind. And we just want to know and to let you know we appreciate you, every one of you. Some of y'all have been with me as far as a family member, and I guess you could say a team member in this battle for 20-some years. Been on the radio almost 33 years. I've made a lot of friends and family, met them all over the country and around the world, actually. Some that went home with the Lord. But I just want to thank everyone for being there with us, and I do mean that with all my heart. And thank you just for being faithful to us for so long. But I want to introduce tonight our guest, Dr. Alex McFarland. Now, he's been on with me, it's been quite a while back, but he's a youth, religion, and culture expert and author of 20 books. He is heard on nearly 200 radio stations across the U.S. on Family Radio Network. And he's a host of Alex McFarland's show on NRB TV. So, folks, this guy gets around. He does. He's also a director of Worldview for Christ Bible College. And he's always writing materials. That's how I got to know him better. I read his materials. I read what he says. He has some courage to tell the truth. And he mentioned one thing in an article wrote recently about the No King But Jesus Revolution that we once had in this country, folks, in 1700. Remember that? Well, I know you weren't there then, but you remember reading about that in history books. No King But Jesus was the motto of our nation for a while. Now it seems like it's any king but Jesus. We don't want to retain that name in our vocabulary anymore. We want to forget about him and his commandments and his statutes and directions to live our life by. That's just the way it is. Our nation is being corrupted diluted, polluted, and destroyed by the enemy. He comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. And Alex is out there daily trying to get people to pay attention as to the root cause of what's our nation's demise. It is finances, but the finances are a symptom of a greater disease we'll call sin, along with everything else out there. Sin's a cancer that destroys individuals, families, and nations. And America is no exception. Matter of fact, if anything, America is going to be the greater damned nation because of what we started off with and threw away. Alex, are you there?
I am here. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. And it's good to have you, and I do mean that. It's been a long time since you and I spoken, but I keep up with what you write. And I really enjoy what you comment on. I really do. I mean, the one you wrote recently, too, about tech billionaires wanting everlasting life by using AI, and how mankind is always trying to find a way to short-circuit God's laws and will and to find easier, cheaper ways to eternal life. Although it's free to us the way it is now, but for some reason, man's rebellious spirit just doesn't go away. Before we get into what we're going to discuss tonight, though, tell the folks a bit about who Alex McFarland is.
Well, God bless you, and thank you, brother. It's a great honor to be on. I appreciate you. And now, you and I, our friendship goes back several years. I think you and I, when I first began to know you, was even maybe just before COVID came along. But
probably
I appreciate
was.
The great work you do. Yeah,
well,
and the stand you take for the gospel. But, brother, I'm a saved sinner. You probably heard my dog just now bark.
I did.
I'm a saved sinner who's excited about Jesus. And I grew up on a farm in North Carolina, and we were in the egg business for 68 years, my grandfather and my dad. And maybe just to illustrate how God turns, you know, bad things into something good, my mother and dad were Christians. They're both in heaven now, and they were hardworking people. My mother was a public school teacher. My dad went to NC State, and like I said, we ran the egg business for all these years. But the late 70s, do you remember there was a gas crisis? Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I lived through that. I remember when I first got married back in 1971, gas was 20 cents a gallon.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, during that gas crisis, of course, I was only a little bitty kid back then. But
okay, go ahead. Rub it in. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, the gas. Hang on a second. My dog is going crazy. Golly, I'm so sorry.
It's all right. But, it's okay. I understand.
Yeah.
No biggie. Folks, we're all just real people, so don't expect anything different out of us. We're just real people. We have the same situation as you do. Go ahead.
The dog, now that we're on the radio, the dog decides to chime in. But
of course,
my parents, by 1980, they were about $750,000 in debt. And the gas, you know, we had contracts. We were selling eggs at, let's say, 69 cents a dozen. But because of gas and everything, maybe the cost out the door was 99 cents a dozen. And, you know, my sister and I were just young, and we didn't understand it all. And my dad had about 18 employees. And by 1980, you know, things were pretty bleak. And I realized that my dad's business was going bankrupt. And one time the bank came to evict us from our house and repossessed the farm. And long story short, in this deep, dark valley of financial literally crisis, my mother and dad, watching Charles Stanley on TV, recommitted their life to Christ. And again, I was like 17, 18 by this point. I didn't really understand it all, but I really saw a change in my parents' life. And my sister got married, moved away. At age 21, I was invited to a Monday night Bible study. And I heard the gospel, and I really, for the first time that I remember, I really understood that Jesus Christ died for me, Jesus loved me in spite of my sin, and that
Amen.
I could be born again by putting my faith in Jesus. And the reason I share this is because maybe somebody listening maybe they're in a tough spot, or they feel like, you know, life is, you know, passed them by, or there's a problem too big to have anything good come out of it. And the fact is that the Word of God promises that if in Matthew 6:33, if we commit our way to the Lord, that He will give us the things of life. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And I got saved, and all of our problems didn't evaporate overnight, but I began to realize that God had a plan for my life. And my mother and dad, before they died, they both said, you know, we thank God for all the years of bankruptcy and, you know, financial crisis and losing the business, and because it brought us all to our knees, and we realized that what we needed was Jesus. And so I, you know, was still working, going to college, working 2 and 3 and sometimes 4 jobs. And then I had the great privilege 36 years ago to get married to the girl that invited me to the Monday night Bible study, Angie.
Amen.
Yes. And I'd been saved about 4.5, almost 5 years. And I really believe that God was calling me to the ministry because, you know, all I cared about was trying to win people to Christ and witnessing. And Butch, I'd been very shy, very timid. I never talked much of anybody. But after I found the Lord, I realized, you know, there's two kind of people in the world, those that have Jesus and those that need Jesus. And so God is so faithful. You know, it's not always been easy. In fact, many times the journey has been pretty hard. But again, to everybody listening, number one, I want to say that the greatest decision you'll ever make, and if you've not done this, by all means, tonight, do it. Open your heart to Christ and confess your sin, believe in Jesus, ask Him to save you, and He will save you. Make sure that you are a Christian. That
Amen.
Is life's most important decision. But then, if you are a believer, live for Jesus and live for His great commission. And so,
Amen.
I was a youth pastor for 11 years, went to Liberty University and did several degrees. But, Butch, I'm just a guy that's trying to see people get saved and see revival come to the American church.
That's very noble and very, very well put. And I understand what you're saying completely. You didn't make one statement, though, about your mom and dad said the biggest blessing was when they lost everything on this earth. And I've said this many times in my teachings, in my sermons. I wish on everybody that is newly wed, that just married, that they struggle financially. Now, people say, well, that's terrible. No, it's not terrible. And when you work together to try and make things work in your marriage as far as even keeping up finances, it draws you closer as a team. And then when God blesses you and you prosper more in later years, you appreciate it more as a couple because you both worked for it. You both earned it. And that, to me, with my wife and I, Marcia Jean, is such a blessing. We struggled. I mean, I had trouble sometimes putting food on the table. It's a good thing I liked to hunt back then a lot because I'd bring in 10 or 12 deer a year and fill the freezer up. But we struggled financially. But all those years, we managed to pay off everything, a decent little home out in the country. We were really blessed, and I appreciate more every night. I'm sure you do too, Alex. That when I lay my head down on a pillow and on a cold night, and I'm warm and safe, I praise God for the blessings He give us, my wife and I, for keeping us together for so long, working as a team, and for His glory to bring forth what He's given us, even financially and materially. Hmm. We serve a great God and a good God, Alex. We really do.
Amen. Amen. We do. And I love what you said about, you know, you work together through the hard years and the hungry years. And it does draw you together. I think you and I both could very easily show our age here. The first car I ever had was $250. I bought a 1966 Ford from a local preacher. It was an old car, and $250, that was my first car for my first several years of driving. And, you know, I've counseled a lot of families, and we, in fact, we just this week finished up our fifth of seven summer youth camps. We had 1,200 teenagers in seven camps across the country. But I tell parents, you know, don't just give your kids everything. Don't buy them a brand new
$30
car. Yeah, when they turn 16 or 17. Don't just pay their college education. See, working and having to engage in what is called deferred gratification, you don't just get it now. You've got to be patient and live within your means.
Yes.
These things are good for our character. And, brother, I'm talking about within the church. I meet a lot of people, young people, and sometimes not so young people, that they've never really developed their character. And character involves self-control, integrity, ethics, and understanding. Number one in life is to know Jesus, but then to conduct and live morally. Conduct yourself and live morally. You don't hear a lot about morals and character these days, but I want to tell you, second only to salvation is your character. And character is developed, number one, by hearing the Holy Spirit and obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit. But then character is also developed through discipline and even hardship. You know, hardship is not necessarily a bad thing, is it?
No, it is not. It's a blessing, meantime, in disguise.
Yeah. So I don't mean to be up on a soapbox or something, but a little bit of, you know, I remember my grandmother. I had a very godly grandmother growing up in the country, and she would say, whenever I was just, you know, looking at the Sears catalog for an hour on end, this is before the internet, you know, my grandmother would say, it's okay to have things, but don't let things have you.
Yeah, you know? Good way to put it. Absolutely. Absolutely,
put it. We care about what we have, but God cares about who we are.
And
I think, let me talk about revival in America for a minute. You know, if you look at the early church, within the first 200 years of Christianity, after Christ rose from the dead, he ascended back to heaven, Peter preached at Pentecost, the church was started. Well, the early church had Jewish, Greek, and Roman persecution, but the church grew and grew and grew such that within about 250 years after Christ, Rome was fast becoming Christian, and then by 300 years after the resurrection of Christ, Christianity went from being outlawed to being the faith of the Roman Empire. Now, if you ask people, you know, how did Christianity prevail in the face of intense persecution? Most Christians will say, well, because Jesus had risen and the tomb was empty, and Christians were, you know, zealous for the gospel and willing to die. And that is true. That is absolutely true. The tomb was empty. Christ was risen. But if you read, you know, really great church historians, and just recently a great historian passed away named Dr. Rodney Stark. And Rodney Stark was a twice Pulitzer-nominated church historian, and frankly, a historian of Western civilization. And he was a devout Christian. I had phone conversations with him. Never got to meet him in person, but Rodney Stark wrote a book about the victory of the Christian faith over the Roman Empire. And he said this, and this applies to us. He said that, look, Christians gave a hard day's work, an honest day's labor. Christians adopted orphan babies and had big families. Christians cared for the elderly when life was cheap in the Roman Empire, and elderly people were often just left to die in the woods. And because we're made in God's image, Matthew 25 says, when I give a cup of cold water, it's as if I've done it unto Jesus. So Christians were charitable. Christians lived within their means and became prosperous. Christians forgave, and they didn't hold a grudge. But Rodney Stark, PhD, said this: Christianity prevailed, yes, because Christ had risen. But in the Roman Empire, Christianity won the day because it's just a better way to live. And I think about that here in America. The church doesn't always have a big megaphone or a lot of resources, but we can live ethically. We can pray and intercede. We can influence others. We can build big godly families and raise our kids to love God and country. And if the early church could overturn the Roman Empire for good, how much more so the American church to save our nation? And it begins with each one, you and I.
That's very true. And the church is the key factor of keeping a nation united and morally righteous, because we're put here to occupy till he comes and see that his gospel and his statutes and discipleship is spread around the world. We haven't done so hot lately, apparently. I mean, it's obviously true. But that doesn't excuse any of us from doing even better tomorrow. You know, we are in a battle. My theme song has been for 33 years, a song called by the Pains, entitled This Is War. We are at war. This is spiritual warfare. I mean, this is good versus evil. It has been since the garden. It's going to be the way to the end. And once we get our mind and get it settled that the only answer is Christ, period. You don't need other answers. You're not going to find the answers in Democrats, Republicans, or Independents, anybody else. The answer is Jesus Christ, his word, his laws, his statutes, and his love and grace. That is the key to everything. And when I see your writing, what you're writing all the time, trying to express to people your desires, the things that they should know, you see you have a burden also for a nation that's going astray. I mean, you see the sin. You see what's happening. You see what's doing to young people. It just breaks my heart, Alex. I mean, you and I are old. I'm quite a bit older than you are, but we're old enough now to know better. But a child, 4, 5, 6 years old, goes to public school and taught how to, they can be a boy or girl, their choice, and how to have whatever, safe sex, whatever. They are absolutely naive to the fact. And most parents don't step up and teach them like they should either. So we're living in a world that needs the light of Christ, are we not?
Amen. Amen, brother. You said it. And I want to say this, that, you know, transgenderism is demonic. I mean, it really is.
Of course it is. Of course it is, yes.
And if I could say that the mindset of so many today is what I would call militant autonomy or a spirit of rebellion. You know, it's one thing, the Bible says, you know, in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie and thou shalt not steal. I mean, it's one thing to say, God, you can't tell me how to behave. But the transgender worldview essentially says, God, you don't even have the right to define what I am. The Word of God and human biology says that sex is binary. There are males and females, period, end of story. But transgender ideology is demonic, just like Lucifer. In Isaiah 14, Lucifer wanted to overthrow heaven and essentially kill off God. And the book of Revelation talks about the great dragon that swept a third of the stars out of heaven. In other words, one third of the angels became demons by joining Lucifer in a failed coup attempt. Lucifer was the original automaton. In other words, God will not tell me what to do. And the transgender movement, the idea that a male could turn into a female, or the idea that there is no such thing as maleness or femaleness, besides being absolutely counter to reality, counter to human biology, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually toxic. It's demonic. And let me say this, as a pastor, minister, I was on staff of a church for 11 years, and I've pastored two other churches and spoken literally in over 2,000 churches. We have got to have some pastors that have some courage in the pulpit.
Amen. And amen.
I would say to everybody listening, yeah, Jesus loves you. Jesus is as close by as a prayer. You can be saved. But the very same God that offers his grace warns you of his judgment. And we pastors have got to get up in the pulpit and tell the church, look, if you believe in homosexuality and you deny what the Word of God says, you need to repent and believe not the perspective of a fallen humanity, but the written revelation of Almighty God. Read 1 Corinthians 6. And unrepentant homosexuals, fornicators, murderers, liars, any of those can be saved, but you must repent. And 1 Corinthians 6 says, as such were some of you. That's a past tense verb. But
amen.
I got to tell you, brother, America is where it is because of the silence of many a pulpit.
Well, you're right on, and I've said this many times. I'll say it again: the blame for the demise of this country is not with the politicians, or the murder doctors we call them abortionists, or with the homosexuals or anything else. It's with the church, and the church's lukewarmness, and the pulpit becoming lukewarm at best, mostly cold, because the church has lost its zeal to follow God, obey God, and expect society to do the same thing. We've lost that. We put our trust in man. Well, don't worry about it. Trump will save us, or Biden will save us, or Harris will save us. We put our trust in man. Well, we got to get a better governor. We got to get better. No. None of that matters if Christ is not the head of the country. You know, it's been built on sand. It can't stand. Without Christ, the foundation of all things, it cannot last. Individual's life can't last. A home can't last. A nation can't last. Thus, Christ is a foundation, cornerstone. But the church has somehow or another lost that, I don't know how to explain it. They've lost that insight, that wisdom that was once given to all believers, that they knew without Christ there was no hope. Something's happened to the church in America overall that they've forgotten who Christ is and what our duty is to him and only him.
Yeah. You remember the late night host Johnny Carson back.
Oh yes, hang on through the break. Don't lose a thought, okay, Alex? Hang on through the break.
For sure,
folks. Back at the break, we're going to talk some more to Alex McFarland and take your phone call at 717-300-1698. Love to hear from you.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nemana Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nemana a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775, or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Sword and shield, and on the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we are back, and we're talking to Dr. Alex McFarland. I love talking to this gentleman. His ideas, his principles, his goals, a lot like ours. He's trying his best to get the word out to the people. We may not agree on every issue, and I'm sure we don't, but that'll make a difference. We're on the same team fighting the same enemy. Our line is 717-300-1698. Just hoping to call when you're ready. Now, by the way, just Alex asked me how far I am from Ohio. Depending on what part of Ohio, Alex, that you're talking about, I'm about 4 hours south of Columbus, Ohio, a little bit southeast.
Okay. Sure.
So you're down four, maybe 5 hours, something along those lines. Now, you were making a statement when we went off, we had to go on break, and I forgot what it was. Yeah. Hope you remembered.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, Billy Graham, the great evangelist, would very often be on, like, Johnny Carson, you know, the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And, I mean, that was a comedy show and not anything Christian. But I remember when Billy Graham would ever be on, Johnny Carson was super-duper respectful and just very reverent and would let Billy Graham share the gospel. And I think about now how the comedians, the talk show hosts, they really just mock anything that related to Christianity.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, we've come a long way that there's the Bible talks about a time in Romans 3:18 where there is no fear of God before their eyes.
That's very true.
I don't solicit, you know, like anybody, you know, showing preferential treatment to me as a man or to ministers or anything like that. I'm not saying that we humans deserve any special treatment, but I'm saying there was a time in our nation where there was a fear of God and there was a reverence. I mean, and even, you know, Billy Graham, or at one time, you know, my former employer, James Dobson, I had the great joy, great, great honor of working for James Dobson, focused on the family. I worked for Dr. Dobson a total of 8 years. And like 30 years ago, At one point, he was named as the most admired man in America. And, of course, Dr. Dobson was all about family and the gospel. But now Christians are marginalized and criticized and called, you know, homophobic and transphobic and Islamophobic and, you know, all those epithets of the left. And the fact is, we Christians, first of all, we're not better than anybody else, but we are born again. And a Christian is someone who believes in Jesus, but also a true Christian believes God's holy word, the Bible.
Amen.
And, you know, if you take a stand for the Bible and say, well, the Bible says, you know, this about morals, marriage, you know, gender, humanity, salvation. My goodness, a sure way to get, you know, mocked and marginalized and maybe canceled is to take a biblical stand. But we need pastors to not try to just be, you know, B-grade motivational speakers. We need prophets in the pulpits that proclaim the word of God, and the Holy Spirit will drive that into the hearts of people. And as individuals are changed, our society can be changed. As people get redeemed, our culture can get restored. But the job of the preacher is not just to be, you know, cheer me up, feel good speaker. We
an
are to proclaim.
An entertainer. That's what they want, be an entertainer. No, that's not my job.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, we're not to tickle ears and entertain. We are to rescue souls from the fire. And it takes the word of God proclaimed to do that.
And the word of God proclaimed in its purity, the whole counsel of the word of God, as you said, is very improper in the world today, especially, I'm saying this clearly, in a lot of churches, because the most hated word today in church, look it up, this is a fact, is the word obey. They don't like that word obey. I know that I've done a few weddings, and I've had a few wives that asked me not to put the word obey in the vows. I said, hey, I can't do that. It's Bible, and pure Christian, you're going to want the Bible, not what you think or I think, what the book says. But the word obey has become a hateful word. And how dare I ever even think about telling someone what's right and wrong? And the first off, I don't tell them what's right and wrong. God tells them what's right and wrong. I just preach the book.
Yeah.
I have no authority to tell what's right and wrong. I just tell what the book says, and this is what the creator of all things says. You either obey or don't obey. It's your choice. But payday is coming for everybody one day, Brother Alex. It's coming for everybody. I don't care who you are, rich, poor, ugly, pretty, famous, non-famous. I don't care who you are. We're all going to face a payday one day. And I don't want to face a payday unless Christ is my advocate. I just don't want to do it.
I know. Did you ever hear the sermon, and I'm trying to remember if it was J. Harold Smith, but there was a very famous sermon, or R.G. Lee. It was R.G. Lee, Payday Someday.
Oh, yes.
J. Harold Smith was a radio preacher. He had a famous sermon called God's Three Deadlines. But Payday Someday was R.G. Lee, and that is a great sermon. I mean, we need that kind of preaching, because, like Matthew 7:21-24, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, what the judgment day, the day people stand before God, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? We did many wonderful works. And Christ says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. See, to go to heaven, not hell, you have to know Jesus. How do you do that? Well, you enter a relationship with him. In John chapter 3, the Lord told Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was a very moral, upright, good citizen, but Jesus said if a man would see the kingdom of God, he must be born again. And how do you do that? Well, you're born from above by repenting, admitting your sin to God, putting your faith in Jesus. And I say that because there might be somebody listening right now, and you're not sure if today were the day that you faced God, are you ready? You can be ready today, right this minute. You can call on Jesus. And let me just say this. What do you need to believe in order to be a Christian? Well, for one thing, you need to believe in what Jesus said about himself. Christ the Lord, he said he was the Son of God, God incarnate, and that his death on the cross would be the payment for all of your sins. That the think about this, folks. The appropriate measure of God's wrath that we all really do deserve, it was put on Jesus. And Jesus suffered on the cross, died in your place, and you say to God, I believe and I accept that, and Lord, I accept what you did on the cross as the payment for my sin. Please come into my life and save me. Now, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, as he said, and that he rose from the dead, that's essential, because like in John 8:24, Christ said of his deity, his divinity, he said, if you do not believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And so, brother, the reason I say that is because it's not just enough to go to church. It's not trying to be a good person, although we should do those things. But you must be born again, and you are born from above, born spiritually, when you put your faith in Jesus and then ask him. And you know what I believe, brother? I believe the Bible, well, like in Romans 10:13, it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And John 6:37, Christ said, the one who comes to me, I will in no way reject. So there may be somebody listening right now, and tonight is your night. This is the day the Spirit of God has brought you to this point. And I can promise you on the authority of God's word, if you will call out to Jesus and put your faith in Jesus, you will be saved.
Amen. Amen. And folks, a lot of people out there say, well, it can't be that simple. Well, it wasn't simple. It cost Christ everything. But it's free to us. It's totally, absolutely paid for us. When you come to Christ, repent of your sins and sincerely mean it, he forgets them. God forgets them. They're cast away as far as the east is the west. They're gone forever. He never remembers those sins again. In the eyes of Almighty God, you become a brand new individual, born again, new creature through Christ. Now, that is a promise given to all who will believe. And I know that sounds sometimes unbelievable and too easy. And I know, Alex, we all have a tendency of, gee whiz, that isn't right. I mean, I just can't believe that I don't have to do anything except believe in Christ, accept his grace, and I'll become a child of God, because it's just too easy. And the Bible says, mm-hmm. that wise men, so-called wise men, sometimes choke on that fact. It doesn't sound make sense to them. But folks, that's very true. Now, we didn't mean to turn this necessarily to revival tonight, but I think it's a good step in the right direction. Christ died on the cross so that you and I could have a chance to become the sons and daughters of a living God and be with him for eternity in paradise. And one thing I keep asking people, and I make mention of it, Alex, is I can't imagine in my life never having another bad thought, never having even a single bad thought. I'll be in paradise with my Savior, and I'll never be tempted to sin again. I mean, isn't that amazing just think about?
Amen. Amen. You know, Paul in Romans, he said, that which I do want to do, I don't do. That which I don't want to do, I do. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And like you said, the beautiful thing, salvation it's an event and it's also a journey. I mean, there is salvation the minute you trust Christ. And the Bible says that, positionally we are in Christ. But then there's Christian growth. I put it like this. Evangelism and discipleship, it's kind of like an obstetrician and a pediatrician. An obstetrician delivers a baby. A pediatrician helps the baby grow up. Evangelism is like obstetrics. people getting born again. But then, even as a newborn Christian, you put your faith in Christ. Wonderful. But the rest of life, we are to grow. And every day we should pray, talk to the Lord in prayer. Every day we should read the Bible. We commune with God through His Word. And, you know, it is simple in that I think about like 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, that's pretty simple. But then we are to grow. We are to be more and more Christ-like. And the beautiful thing, like you said, one day we're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. We'll be in a glorified body in heaven. No more sin, no more death, nor anything that defiles. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
My goodness, and that in itself is, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that in itself is going to be paradise. Never to be tempted again with evil.
Yeah. And
that's paradise in itself.
Jesus said in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5-7, you know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, your heart is purified, your soul is redeemed by being born again through faith in Jesus. But if people that don't want to go to church, I meet people that say, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Well, if you don't want anything to do with God down here on earth, why do you think you're going to want anything to do with God in eternity?
Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you something that's really spiritual. That's the devil. He's very spiritual.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And he knows Christ firsthand. Hey, let's take a phone call from Georgia. Let's talk to Jim. Come on in, Jim.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How you doing?
Oh, I'm getting thrown a few curves. I wasn't going to go on the air with this, and I want to call you in your office tomorrow with the bulk of this, okay, Pastor?
Sure, yeah.
Here's what's been going on for the last 2 or 3 weeks here, about 2 weeks. I've been listening to the other side on the Internet. I stumbled across a video about Noah's Ark and how he got all those animals on there and came to the conclusion it's just impossible. And so I started watching the other side and listening to what they had to say. And I've been watching our side, too. I've been watching both sides. I had my pastor over here for coffee today talking about this subject. We talked for over an hour. Let me tell you something about what the other side says. And these are questions. These are valid questions. These are questions that I've had for 20 years. And I had somebody at work the other day, about 6 months ago, tell me that she thinks a lot of people have the same questions. I'm just one of the few people that has the courage to ask them. Now, let me tell you what the other side says. What's your first name, sir?
Alex.
Me, Alex McFarland.
Alex. Okay,
yes, yes.
Alex. May I call you Alex?
Yes, sure.
Okay, I'm Jim. Okay.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you? Okay, do you believe in me?
Do I believe in you? I don't know enough about you to completely make a judgment, but I'm going to take you at your word for this conversation.
I'm calling you from, and I'm a voice on the phone. You've never seen me. You're not sure that I may be just an AI computer, okay? But here's the deal, and here's one of the questions they ask. Alex, believe in me and love me, or I'm going to douse you in gasoline and set you on fire for eternity. Now, how are we going to address this? And I realize that I try to give God the benefit of the doubt that he's an eternal being and all that, but they say you have free will. Well, that's kind of, yeah, you have free will, but you're kind of under duress. All right? And you with me so far? It's like a man walks in here with a gun and says, give me your money. Well, I have a choice. I can say no when he shoots me dead, or I can give him my money. I'm making a decision under duress. Okay? And the young people, one of the videos I watched in doing all this, the young people, they go to church and they hear a sermon, but they come home and they click on the internet and they hear questions just like that. And they get into discussions.
You're missing a key point. The whole thing, okay. I can kick up with one statement.
Okay.
What does the Bible say you need in order to please God? What's one thing it's impossible to please God without?
I've heard it's faith.
Faith. All right. There you go. If you don't have faith that he is, then he's not to you.
I'm losing mine.
Yes, you
I'm
are.
Losing mine.
And that's what Satan come after. Faith in what he says. Yes, and the ark was real. They've discovered it. That's a fact. It's all real. It was all real.
They discovered the ark. No, they didn't. I'm serious. And they haven't found wagon wheels, chariot wheels under the Red Sea.
That's not true. They have. But nonetheless, forget all that. Faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you're automatically damned. It's just that easy.
Hey, Jim, it's Alex here, and let me say, for one thing, I respect the fact that you're willing to talk about these things out loud, and I don't think that that's a bad thing. As long as you're willing, you know, I'll put it this way. One of the most brilliant men of the 20th century was there was a guy named Mortimer Adler, and he was the editor of Encyclopedia Britannica. And, in fact, my mentor in grad school knew Mortimer Adler. And Adler, oh, man, he was like an intellectual on the world stage. And he was an atheist. But shortly before he retired, everybody was shocked. This was probably in the mid-1980s. Mortimer Adler, editor of Encyclopedia Britannica, a philosopher, a historian, he became a born-again Christian. And he was interviewed by, I can't think of the guy's name, but it was on NPR back in the day. And Adler said this. He said, follow the evidence wherever it leads. And if you don't abandon the search, you will wind up at Calvary. And I guess my point in this is, we could talk at length about Noah's Ark. There was a great book a few years ago by an engineer, and it was called Noah's Ark, A Feasibility Study. And the book was written by a guy named John Wood Morape. But anyway, an engineer, and he was talking about how the Noah's Ark essentially would have had the capacity of 450 train cars. And, you know, Noah didn't have to take all 126 breeds of dogs. Only the average size animal would have been about the size of a lamb. And because of phyla, you know, one canine male-female pair has the genetic potentiality for 126 breeds of dogs. My point being, whether it's Noah and the Ark, whether it's Moses and the Exodus, there are compelling lines of evidence for all of the Bible stories. But, Jim, here's the only point. Do you believe Christ rose from the dead? Because, let me say this, and here's another name. All these guys that I interview and that I work with, these are pretty smart folks. Gary Habermas, he was an atheist, then he became a Buddhist. Hands down, the world expert on the resurrection of Christ, PhD from Michigan State, Habermas has spent 40 years looking at ancient evidence.
I've been watching some of his stuff. Dr. Habermas. I've been watching some of him.
The only explanation given all the known facts, the body couldn't have been stolen. It couldn't have been hallucinations. Jesus wasn't a liar. He couldn't have faked his death. And if Christ rose, and that is the only logical explanation, then that proves who he was. Forget about Noah's Ark, although I think it's a valid, very defensible subject. Jim, Jesus loves you, And, you know, the old saying about feed your faith and your doubts will starve. Please don't get tripped up by some moron who has a blog site. I'm telling you, the best and the brightest who have spent their years. I can tell you about J. Warner Wallace, one of America's most renowned detectives. He was an atheist, so he was in his 50s. He and I will be next week at the Billy Graham Center. J. Warner Wallace would tell you he was the last guy on earth that wanted Christianity to be true. He's on Dateline with Keith Morrison every month.
He's a personal friend.
So, Jim,
I hate to run off here. We're down about the last minute and a half. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. I hate to cut Jim. I'll talk to you in time. I can help you. You know that. Anything else you want to say, Alex, pretty quickly, though, Jim?
I'm going to have the pastor give me your address. I'm going to send you a couple of my books. Jim, I'm praying for you. Jesus is real. Please
Amen.
Don't abandon the journey, my friend. Christ is real, and he loves you very much.
Jim, I should have your address. I don't know that I do for sure. Call me tomorrow and give me your address, okay? Okay. I guess he's going. Okay. Alex, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. I mean, that's a call I did not want to cut off. That was too important to call.
Yeah, sure.
Take another call.
But, how much time do we have left, brother?
We got about 30 seconds or maybe a little bit longer.
I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Jim and all the Jims of the world that are having a faith crisis. Lord, we know you're real. And,
yes.
Lord, we know you're risen. Help this man put his feet firmly on the solid rock of trust in you, and help all of us to present, explain, and defend your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Alex, this has been a blast. Can we do it again sometime?
Please, let's do. I cherish the friendship, brother.
Well, right back at you. I do appreciate what you're doing. Just keep swinging the sword and asking God to open people's eyes, because, believe me, I understand some of the things what Jim's going through. We've all been through doubt. We all
sure.
have. Satan's playground. That's what he does. So he's doing his job.
Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the
exactly.
Lord. So it's okay to work through some questions, but when the truth is staring you in the face, we are obligated to respond.
Absolutely. And the beautiful part of it is faith is the key to everything in this life and in the afterlife. And by faith, I go to bed at night not worrying about whether I wake up or not on this earth. I know where I'm going to be with my Father. That's the whole key
Amen.
Right there. Peace in my mind and heart because of Christ. Well, Alex, thank you so much. I'll be in touch in the future, okay?
Yes, sir. Blessings to you, my friend.
Okay, bye-bye. Folks, we love you. Well, grace God, I'll see you in the office tomorrow, so come and join us in the office tomorrow. I'd love to talk to you. Have a great night.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.